Blog Talk Radio.
New Beginnings is not just for the young. Blood, thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Amen. And we thank you for taking out the time to be a part of this hour. Amen. We're going to be blessed this evening. We will be in Huntersville, North Carolina, with a voice that you've heard once before, Minister Janita Arnold. Amen. And shortly after I finish, the next voice that you hear will be none other than Mr. Dalia Arma. For those of you who are listening by internet, if you'd like to call in, and if you have a question for the speaker at the end of the show, the last 5 minutes, when she opens up the mic, or if she has time to open up the mic, amen, the calling number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, hit the number one if you have a question, amen, as we move forward, amen. If you would like also to share this message with someone, you can go into Blog Talk Radio, type in We Can Begin Again, and then you can pull up this archive and share it with a family, a friend, or someone else, amen, that may will be encouraged by the Word of God. And that's the only reason that we come together, amen. We come together, amen, to be a blessing to one another. Amen. The Bible says that when we are connected, that all things work together for the good, for those that love the Lord. Amen. Who are called according to his purpose. Amen. We all have a purpose. Amen. What's yours? Amen. 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 That is a question. Prayerfully, you know what God has in your life and what he wants to do with your life. Amen. And you are working according to your assignment. Amen. We just thank you once again for just taking this time to be a part of this hour. We're going to move out of the way, and the next voice you hear will be none other than Minister Donita Arnold from out of Huntersville, New York. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I pray that your word would be a blessing this evening to the hearers, Heavenly Father, not only to the hearers, Heavenly Father, to everyone, Heavenly Father, that may come on even later. Well, let it be a blessing, Heavenly Father. Let it be a light, Heavenly Father, a guiding light, Heavenly Father, that no matter what they may be going through or wherever they are, Heavenly Father, the word, Heavenly Father, can give them direction, can give them a path, can give them a new light in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that this time, this hour. Amen. Amen. Right now, we're going to move on over into North Carolina. Amen. The next, as I said, the next voice that you hear will be none other than Minister Donita Arnold. Amen. Minister Arnold.
Amen.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Can you hear me?
It's good to hear your voice. Have not heard you in a while. Amen. It is a blessing for you to be on to share a word. Amen, of encouragement with the body of Christ. Before you do that, could you give them a brief, give the audience, those listeners, a brief, a briefing, a short brief, you know, analysis of who you are and what you do, and amen. So, because here's the thing with those online, we hear voices, we know names, but we never see each other. Amen. So I don't just want to give a reminder of how God is using you. Amen. We're going to turn the mic on over to you right now. May God bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Good evening to all of you. Thank you again for having me on Blog Talk Radio tonight. Just a young woman from Princeton, West Virginia. Actually grew up there, born and raised, and moved to Charlotte. And I have actually been in ministry now since 1991, and I was licensed and ordained as a minister in 1991, went on to pastor, became an elder, and then pastoring, and did some of those things, done a lot of teaching, held a lot of women's conferences all over. And actually, I am now doing Donita Arnold Ministries, which I do a lot of teaching on Thursday nights on Facebook under Donita Arnold. And so I'm excited with what I'm doing. I have dealt a lot with young people and women and men in ministry. It doesn't matter. I've just been led by the Spirit of God to teach the word and to minister the word to many. So I am thankful for that and blessed to be here tonight to be able to share the word that I feel like the Lord has put in my spirit.
Amen.
So tonight we're going to, okay, So tonight I'm going to be ministering from Romans chapter 8. If I would have really thought about this and maybe been a little more prayerful, maybe the Lord would have led me just in another direction. But I'm going to talk on a little bit of Romans chapter 7 also. And you can go back and read Romans chapter 7 on your own. But it's sort of like Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8 is really a scripture or passages that should actually be one. I mean, they should just keep flowing over from the fact that in Romans chapter 7, we see where Paul was struggling with the flesh. And Romans 8 has a lot to do, talks a lot about the flesh and the spirit warring. And we see in Romans that Paul is actually in the struggle of his life. And I remember as a young Christian when I first got saved, and I thought I was thinking just like some of you have thought before, or some of you that have even considered being saved. I thought when I was a young Christian, I thought this is so hard, and how am I going to be able to live for Christ at a young age? How am I going to be able to not only realize who I am, but also find out in the Word of God that the reason for Christ Jesus and why he died on the cross and rose again. But a lot of times you think as a young Christian, or even, you know, those that have been saved for a long time, a lot of times you think that being saved means that you're no longer going to do things that kept you in that sin for nature, like you're going to just wake up and everything is going to be done. God's going to handle it for you. That's a misconception of actually living a Christian life. And so what am I saying? I'm saying, you know, I thought that it was just me when I first got saved, and as I have even traveled through life, I thought that maybe sometimes the enemy tried to deceive me, and I know he's tried to deceive others of you, where you felt as if you were sinning and you were doing things that were contrary to the law of God, but you did not quite understand the difference of the war in the flesh and the difference of the war or the flesh and the spirit. So we see here, like I said, Paul in chapter 7, there's a struggle going on in Paul's flesh, and he's really dealing with the law and then the spirit of God. So, and that goes on over into Romans 8, but I want to talk just one moment about Romans 7. So it says that what Paul was saying, those things that I could, the things that I would not do, that I do, and the things that I would do, I do not. So he was saying that what he was saying was the things that he doesn't want to do, or that he does not, that he knows not to do, he's doing those things. Like there's a daily struggle from your flesh to your spirit, man. And so Paul goes on to say, even goes down through, I think it's verse 25, and he makes the comment, he makes the mark saying that through Jesus Christ, our Lord, he says, in other words, trying to paraphrase, he's saying, is there any way, is there anybody that's able to keep me from this flesh, from this situation that I'm in? And he went on to say that thanks be unto the Lord Jesus Christ that he is able to do that, okay? But one thing that I love about the scripture is when Paul talks about the struggle in the flesh, we come to now where we're going to be talking in tonight on Romans, the 8th chapter. And Paul says, you know, in Romans chapter 7, he says that, he says, who's going to help me from the law and the sin for nature, slave to the law of, you know, of sin. So we see here in Romans 8, I feel as if in Romans 8, there should have been some kicking going on in Romans 7, because everything that Paul struggled and the things that we go through in life, a lot of times we don't understand what's going on. But when we get in the Word of God and we get that revelation of who God really is and the revealing of Christ, the kingdom of God coming into your life, and you understanding the Word in its depth and the spirit, man, not the letter, not the law, but the Spirit going to show us exactly how to walk in the Spirit of God. So let's go on to Romans 8. And I know that the last scripture says, he says, look, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. But now look how Romans 8 begins. So it says, forget, in other words, it's saying, I showed you in Romans 7 the way that things are happening in your life for you to get an understanding now of how powerful the Spirit of God is in order to take you into a different realm, okay? So what I was seeing here in Romans 8 is like Paul says, but if the scripture would have continued in Romans 8, Paul could have said, but there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, this is a very powerful word here. Romans 8 is the scripture of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, if you get Romans 8 down in your spirit, if you read it to the point that it just, the words begin to lift off the page, I guarantee you, like the Word of God says in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This very chapter, Romans the 8th, can allow you or cause you to feel and know that now you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? So he says, there's therefore now. So in other words, right now, where you're at, the midst of whatever you're in, when you've asked the Lord to come into your life and that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that the Lord is our Father and that he had a son, Jesus Christ, that he went down, he rose from the dead, he took the stripes on his back, he died and he rose again for our sins. Now, once you understand that, then you can roll on into Romans chapter 1, that there is now no condemnation. When are we talking about? We're talking about the sins that you've encountered in your life, the sins that you encountered today, things that you did last week that you didn't even, that you felt bad about, things that you did years ago that you're still feeling bad about, things that you encountered as an individual on the earth, things that you went through throughout your life. And that's what I said. That's how the enemy tries to keep your mind locked in the fact that there's condemnation still. Oh, glory. But when the scripture says there is therefore right now, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to all of you on this Blog Talk Radio, that right now, regardless of what you've done or whatever you've been through, right now, when you ask the Lord for forgiveness, he says there is now what? No condemnation. Now, that is a powerful scripture right there. No condemnation. I tell you, when someone is to tell you that there is no condemnation, we see where the apostle is saying is not only there is a struggle, but this is very important. The struggle is without condemnation. So in other words, Paul was saying, though I struggle at times, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we don't walk after the flesh. Now, remember, the flesh is the law. We operate in the law. Because actually, when you get saved, there is a scripture that says, I didn't know sin until I got saved. Why? Because you read the Word of God and the commandments were given, and then in your flesh, we tried to fulfill the commandments, which God knew before the foundations of the earth. The reason that Jesus came was because we could not fulfill the commandments, that we had to have Jesus to come and take our and be able to operate as a man and woman in the Spirit of God. Is anyone saying something? Have a question?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, like I said, here we are back in Romans talking about the condemnation that is no more. There's no condemnation right now to those that are in Christ Jesus. The reason that there's no condemnation is that little phrase right there where it says, in Christ Jesus. Why? How? In Christ Jesus, when we live in him, dwell in him, and he dwells in us and dwells in, you know, we begin to walk with him, like we used to say, when we walk with him and talk with him and tell him that he is my own. When we begin to do that, then we realize that the condemnation is gone whenever we operate in Christ. Now, we can get in sin all day long and just do things and just operate in those situations and those things. But when we realize that when we go to God and we get in him and we walk what? Not after the flesh will cause you to sin at all times. I'm telling you, the flesh, this fleshly nature of ours will cause you to sin when you have no desire to sin. But it creeps back in unless you're in Christ and you don't walk after the flesh, but you begin to walk after the Spirit. Glory to God. How many of you feel as if, if I could only walk in the Spirit at all times? But of course we know there's that human nature, and of course there's the Spirit. But it tells us that in Christ, we can walk what? After the Spirit. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life where? In Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, that's powerful right there. It's saying that the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ Jesus has done what? Made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, that's a good place to shout right there. Made us free from the law of sin and death. And you know that sin and death, you know, it is just what it is. It's bad. It causes you to feel bad. It causes your emotions to get stirred up. Different things begin to happen in your mind and in your body when you operate in sin and you operate in death. Even though when we were out there in the world and we were in sin, you know, we thought it was good. We thought it was fun. We thought we were doing things, you know, just do anything that I want to do. But then we realized that as a new person, now that I'm in Christ Jesus, now that I'm free from the law of sin and death, glory to God.
Yes.
Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do. Oh, my goodness. So what the law couldn't do, the commandment, the law that's in the Word in the Old Testament, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. In your flesh, the law is going to be weak. It cannot hold you up. You cannot be able to stand before God in your flesh and say that I'm justified just if nothing ever happened. Salvation is understanding that you're free from death, you're free to live forever. Come on. You're free to live in a Christ-like manner. Okay? So it says, for the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son. Here we go. In the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin where? In the flesh. God, he sent his son for us. He says, amen. Listen, I'm going to recover the sins, I'm going to help them to be able to walk in the Spirit of God and live a joyful life, live a happy life. So sin is, there's no joy in sin. I understand. Some of you say, yeah, when I used to sin, it was joy. But whatever happened to once you felt the joy and then the condemnation or the way you felt about yourself when certain things happened and you operated outside of being a godly person? Then what came? Condemnation. And the condemnation is still trying to tear down the people of God, still trying to tear down new Christians and those that even want to live for God. Oh, come on. Because they say, look, I can't live this life. Why? Because I have to do this. I have to stop doing that. You know how we used to say, you take your makeup off, you pull your dresses down longer and no makeup and all this kind of stuff, and that was salvation. But that was a lie. The devil deceived the world to think if we could operate that way, we can cause condemnation and cause people not to draw to Christ or go back to him. Amen? So what the law couldn't do, it was weak in the flesh. So God sent his son. He sent his son. He sent Jesus to die for us. So he condemned sin where? In the flesh. Look at verse 4. It says that the pardon? Oh, I thought someone wanted to say something. Okay. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled where? In us, in you, in myself, in others, that walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. That lets me know right there that there's a struggle going on and that you can easily walk after the flesh or you can walk after the spirit. That's what the scripture is really saying here, that that struggle is going to be going on. So it says, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. In verse 5 in Romans, for they that are after the flesh do what? Do mind the things of the flesh. Did y'all hear me tonight? Mm-hmm. When you're walking in the flesh, you operate in the things of the flesh. You're drawn to do things that are fleshly. Your mind, your sight gets you in trouble. Because the enemy, the first thing is what you see, and when you see it, you desire it. Your flesh desires those things. It's just like an alcoholic. Let me just go here. And not only alcoholics, but those that overeat and different things that happen in your life that you're trying your best on a day-to-day basis to be delivered from. Now, what happens is in your flesh feels good once you obtain or once you partake of different things that are sinful, okay? And I'm not saying you're going to hell if you drink alcohol. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's a struggle. If you want to be delivered from alcohol, there's a struggle that takes place in the flesh. And when that struggle comes, there comes a temptation. And the temptation is put before you every day. Why? Because the enemy knows that you struggle in that department. That may not be what another individual struggles in. Another individual can struggle in homosexuality. Can be all kinds of different things that you're struggling with. But that's how the enemy attacks you, because he knows what picks you off. That's what I might as well just say it. The enemy knows how he can get you, right? And that's by things that you said of your mouth or the way that you've operated or the way that you've been living your life, okay? So what does the alcoholic do? He desires in his spirit, man, and in his heart, his desire is to be free. But the condemnation comes. The law of sin and death creeps in the flesh, and the flesh sees the temptation. And now to fulfill the flesh, you partake of that you want to get rid of. So the only way to do that is if you operate in the Spirit of God, okay? If you operate in the Spirit of God. Does anyone have any questions or want to input anything right there?
Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But they that are in the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is what? Is death. Yes. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In the carnal mind, that natural mind, the flesh, there's death. Okay? That's what the scripture says. There's death there. But to be spiritually minded, it says that there's what? There's life and there's peace. Oh, my goodness. You know, when you begin to walk in the Spirit of God and you allow the Spirit of God to live in you, actually live in you and cause you to see things differently, cause you to act differently, cause you to do things differently than you've done all of your life, then you begin to feel the peace of God. And you operate in life. You want to live because you can look forward to tomorrow because you know that the Spirit of God is going to help you, glory to God, is going to help you to the next level or help you to overcome the deathly things that you're operating in, and that the spiritual mind can cause you to have life and peace. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like the life of God. There's nothing like the joy and the peace of God, Jehovah Shalom, the peace that keeps your mind and through all out, understanding. You can't even understand how the peace of God will overtake you and live in you to the point to where you can say, look, hey, I can live for Christ. I'm not worried about sins. Why? Because Jesus took care of that on the cross. Not only does he did he take care of it on the cross, but he tells me, I will never leave you. I'm with you always, even until the end of the earth. That's what he's saying to you tonight, that he's always with you. He will stay with you from the to the ends of the earth. Now I am with thee always. Why? Because I'm going to be there with you, showing you how to operate in the spirit so you can live a life of peace and a life of understanding and live joyfully. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 7 says, I think we said this one already, because the carnal mind is enmity against God before it, because it's not subject to the law of death, indeed can be. So then verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh can do what? You can't even please God in the flesh. There's no way in your flesh you can please God. And, you know, you want to know who God is. You want God to be able to show you and to teach you and to walk with you. Amen? So it says that you don't even know Christ. You can't even know him in the flesh, and you can't please him in your flesh, because your flesh will try and desire to do right. But back to verse 7, chapter 7, where Paul says, I want to do right. God, help me to do right. But the struggle is so hard in my flesh. Glory to God. But Romans 8 came and said there's no condemnation to them that are in the Spirit of God, okay? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God does what? Dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's what? He's none of his. All right? That's a powerful statement right there by Paul. He says, listen, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, he's saying that you are none of his. Because once you're born again, that same Spirit, glory to God, that raised Jesus from the dead now is quickened in your mortal flesh. Glory to God. And then you begin to operate like God. Because what? We're Christians. We're Christ-like. We begin to walk in another realm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we begin to walk out our lives according to what the Word of God says. Amen. Is anybody getting anything out of the Word of God tonight? Amen.
Yes.
Yes. I think that God is setting us up for some good stuff. Now, we know that, yes. So let me go on down through Romans 8 some more. Chapter 8. And let me go to verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is what? Dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, so if Christ, then your body now is dead to sin. It's just like when we bury someone and now they're in the casket and they're dead. You cannot walk up to their casket when they're dead and say, get up. You can't say, I don't care what you tempt them with at that particular time. They cannot get up and partake of whatever they're being tempted of. Okay? They can't do it. So now the same thing, the body is dead because of sin. Okay? But the spirit is life because of righteousness. So what? Now that your body is dead, you have to operate as if those things now are dead in my flesh. And now I can operate in the Spirit of God, okay?
Amen.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead does what? Dwell in you. Where is the Spirit? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is what? Now dwelling in you. That same Spirit shall also quicken your mortal body, Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Listen, I like to tell people right here, you do not owe your flesh anything. Sometimes you have to tell yourself, flesh, I don't owe you nothing. I'm not going back to how it used to be because I don't owe you anything right now. All I know is that I'm operating in the Spirit of God. So you're not debtors to your flesh. You don't owe your flesh nothing. You don't owe your flesh allowing and causing you to think back on things that happened in your childhood or has happened throughout your life. where the spirit of condemnation and rejection and things come in to cause you to feel sorry for yourself. But you are not going to feel sorry for yourself when you get in Christ Jesus and the Spirit of God begins to tell you who you are. He says in the Word, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, why would God say that? Because he knows that in the flesh, each individual has a struggle with how their makeup is, how they're made up. But he says, listen, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I've made you according to the pattern that I have for the plan of your life. My goodness. God says that's the reason that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So you don't owe the flesh nothing. You don't have to try to convince somebody of who you are in Christ. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is stand strong in the Word of God and remember what God's Word has to say. Okay? In verse 13 it says, for if ye live after the flesh, you'll do what? You'll die. The flesh will cause you to die. The flesh will cause you to be overcome by those things. The flesh will cause your natural man to die, okay? And I know that we're all going to die, but I'm talking about premature death, to where you're sinning and doing things that causes you to be in the wrong place or, premature death. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it says, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall what? You shall live. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. How? In the Word of God. It says that you shall live. That's why the scripture is so important. It says you'll live and not die and do what? Declare the works of the Lord. Why? Because you're going to live. Because you're mortified the deeds of the body, you're going to live. Look at verse 14. This is powerful, people. It says, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God. They are what? They are the sons of God. Hallelujah. You are now a new creation. You are now led through the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It says that you right now, through the Spirit of God, it says you are the Son of God. Why? Because you're led by God's Spirit. For you not be fear of bondage again to fear. Listen, fear will cause, the flesh will cause you to fear tomorrow. Because your flesh will tell you, look, you can't live that way. You can't live this Christian life. You don't have the strength to live like Christ. But the devil is a lie. Because we have the ability right now in God's Word. He's put it out there. It's on, listen, the revealing of who he is. That's what this Word is about tonight. He's revealing to us how we can live in the Spirit and live a life of strength and power and no condemnation. How? In the Spirit of God. So it says, if you receive the bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, Abba, Father. Listen tonight. The Lord is saying to you that I am your Father. He's saying that, listen, in me there's no bondage. Refuse to operate in that bondage wherewith Christ has set you free. Refuse to go back or to allow that flesh to creep up on you every day to where you're fearful. The scripture says that the Lord, that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and what? Of a sound mind. A sound mind. A mind with tranquility. Hallelujah. That's what the Spirit of God has given us, and that we do not have to operate in fear any longer. The Holy Spirit allows, he walks with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Spirit is our standby. He's our advocate. He helps us. He lives in us. Oh, my goodness. And there's some scriptures,
yes,
you know, along those lines. Hello?
Yes,
there's some scriptures along those lines that we can operate in as well. I'm going to open it up right now. If anyone has any comments or questions at this time.
We open up all of these mics.
Okay. Yes, the Spirit of God. Sons of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord.
All mics open.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or want to put anything in right here, comment or something? I'm giving you ample time to do that so we can talk and communicate if need be. Yes, the word of God can bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Well, I'd like to comment in terms of what you're saying in reference to that, and that is so true. You know, we struggle with the flesh. You know, we struggle with fleshly things. We struggle with worldly things. And we once we realize, you know, that once we let go of all those worldly desires and begin to start to think and feel and walk and become spiritually minded, everything that we desire, just the windows are just open up for us. You know, we're trying to go to do things and it's backwards. But the easier way is just to surrender into Christ, and everything that we desire, it begins to open. We don't have the struggles that we had before. And it's a beautiful thing when you can live a peaceful life, you know, when you can be at peace with yourself, be at peace with the world. So, you know, I'm really enjoying, you know, what you're proclaiming this evening. Thank you so much.
Amen. Anyone else have any comments or questions right here? You can fill it in right now. And no question is a crazy question.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Well, we see, like I said, we see here in Romans 8. Romans 8 is really a deliverance chapter to me, and it goes on, and you can find even in Romans 8 where it goes on to talk about when you don't even know how to pray. The scripture tells us that in Romans 8 and 28, I think it may be, or that may be, yeah, in Romans 8, the scripture goes on to say, even when I don't know how to pray, it says that in the spirit, you can begin to pray, and you pray as the Spirit gives that utterance to you, and you begin to pray the things of God. That's why you want to live in the Spirit of God, because you want to be able to pray thing that is takes you to the very root of what the cause is, if there are problems that you're having. That very thing that the Lord will tell you how to pray, the Spirit of God will show you how to pray. Because I'm a believer that when we pray and we ask for things specifically, and God does those things that we're asking him for, I believe that he downloads in our spirit and he causes us to pray in order of those things that we're asking him for. Sometimes we ask him for things and he goes a little deeper. The Spirit of God goes a little deeper. And what the Spirit of God begins to do is tell you the root cause. You may think there's one thing that you need, but the Spirit of God will tell you that this is another thing that you need. You need to deal with this first in order to get that. Amen. You got to deal with this to get that. That's the kind of God that we serve here in Romans chapter 8. And he tells you that the Spirit of God is going to even show you. I'm telling you, Romans chapter 8 is such a powerful scripture. And so many people overlook Romans chapter 8. But it was like an eye-opener for me. And I, even as a young Christian, I read Romans chapter 8 so much to where it got down in my spirit. And if I could get anything to come back up, it was the Word of God. It was Romans chapter 8 telling me or showing me how I could live, not according to what my flesh desired or according to what people or what man mandates you to do as a Christian. See, a lot of times man puts you in condemnation. And when man puts you in condemnation, it causes you to wonder or worry or accept some of those things that man has to say about you. But when God says there's no condemnation and he tells you how to live, then you can live for God and live that peaceful life that we've been talking about.
Amen.
Yes, the peaceful life of God.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you to that scripture, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also does what? Helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, right here it says itself, but really the scripture should say, but the Spirit himself, Spirit of God, maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's what I'm talking about right there, the intercession that you operate in when the Spirit of God raises up on the inside of you, and it causes you, he causes you, the Spirit causes you to intercede according to the will of God. That's giving you understanding on how you should pray and what you should pray. Yes, how we should pray and what we should pray for.
Hallelujah.
And then it says, and we know that all things work together. Oh, my. That's when you back up and you read Romans, the whole chapter, and it gets down here when we see what Paul says, and we know that all things, everything in your life that God has brought you through, the path that you walked on in your life, it says that, and we know that all things work together for what? For the good of them that do what? Love God.
Love.
Yes. To them that are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Were you going to inject something right there?
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
I'm just.
For
I'm
whom
in agreement.
He did foreknow. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just in agreement. I'm just in agreement.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Ooh, then it talks about predestination, okay? But I love it right here. When he says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, scripture says in 31, who can be against us? Listen, when we stand on God's promises, there's no imp in hell. There's no witch or warlock. Nothing can stand against the word of God and the fact that we are his children, that you are his child, that I am his child. It says, who can say anything to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen?
Yes.
Who can be against us? We know that there is no condemnation. Who's in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul goes on even to say, nay, in all these things we're what? We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Listen, you get Romans in your spirit so much, you'll say, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm telling you, Romans 8 is a powerful message to you. It will minister to you day and night. And don't just read it once. Read it over and over and over again so you can get it down in your spirit. And you can live a life in Christ Jesus. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen.
No questions or concerns? Amen. That means we're hearing the word. That means we're getting it down in our spirit.
Amen. Good word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. John, I want to turn it over to you. I'm not sure what you're going to do from here. I know we're going to pray, and we're going to believe that this word gets down in the spirit and that it goes in like a seed, and that seed sprouts out to the point to where one waters and the other one One plants the seed, another waters, and then it comes to give the increase.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to open up the, well, the mics are open for those of you who are listening. You know, if you would like to make a comment in reference to what you have heard, to add on to what you've heard, the mics are open. Please just go ahead and talk. Amen.
I'd like to. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, my brother. Go ahead, my brother. We can hear you.
I thought it was a very powerful word. One we have to keep in mind every day alive, we wake up, that's a blessing. But anyway, to follow that spiritual light, and we don't owe ourselves anything. We, the flesh, anything. We are created by God, and we follow the light and spread his gospel. We have a purpose, and we have to keep that in mind. And that includes, you know, the things that we have, or the things we don't have. There's a reason for it, you know. And we have to count our blessings and be thankful for all things. But this is a very powerful word.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you.
The mics are open if you have a comment. I see a lot of numbers on here. Again, feel free to share with the body of Christ. Amen. You know, it's like sitting at the table and we're just eating, feeding off the word of God. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. I don't know why I keep getting a feedback for some reason, but that's okay. The devil is a liar.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, to keep, you know, just to, you know, to continue just to piggyback off, we're at 7:52, and in about a few minutes you'll hear Music Bake that's going to come in. But, you know, I just want to thank you just for talking about life in the Spirit of God, you know, and we don't really know what life is until we allow the Holy Spirit, you know, to take over. You know, we commune with the Holy Spirit. We really don't know what life is. We really don't
That's
have
true.
Peace, you know, until we commune with the Holy Spirit. And that requires a whole lot of dying. And what that means, you know, for those of you who are listening by internet and who are on right now, not dying physically, amen, but flesh, with the flesh. We get caught up with so many fleshly things we see, so many fleshly things that we are, things that we hear, you know, that it can affect our mind. It can affect our spirit, and it requires a lot of praying, a lot of time with God, studying his word. And I thank this woman of God for just pinpointing Romans 8. You know, if you're looking for to look at the word and get a closer relationship with God or whatever you're going through, she's just pinpointed it. Go to Romans 8. Keep reading it over and over and over again. And you know what? I don't, you know, most people can't guarantee anything, but I can guarantee you your life will never be the same. Your life
Amen.
Will never be the same. One of the things that I say, you know, is God will blow your mind when you open up totally to God. I'm not talking about halfway, but I'm talking about the sellout to Christ. When we sell out to Christ and turn ourselves over to God by studying the word, you know, and communing with the Lord through the word, listen, let me tell you something. Your life will never be the same. The things that you've always been desiring will automatically happen. I can go on and on and on because I know that with my, I can only speak for myself. My life has been nothing but peaceful. Nothing but peaceful. Nothing but peaceful. The spirit of peace. I mean, God sends people my way, you know, who are spiritually minded. Don't you know that the spirit knows the spirit? And when there's so much in your surroundings that's not in the, they stand out. If they're not right, they stand out. God gives
that's
us
right.
the gift of discernment to be able to see and know when danger is in our way. And what do we do? So this is a powerful message that you have just imparted on us. I just get so much in just how you have presented it in a way that we can all understand. I can see why there's a young man that I used to know who was close to me. His name was Damien Wilborn, and he used to always talk about your sermons, your words. You know how he listened to you. And it would just help his life. It would help
Amen.
His life. And I can see what he's referring to now. You know, you just make it plain. You just make it plain. And I love the way you presented it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If you don't have any comments at this time, the mics were open for you. Amen. They're still open. If you have any comments before I turn it back over into to this woman of God. Amen. All mics are open. All you have to do is talk. Amen. Well, I know you have blessed our household, and thank you so much. You have truly blessed our household. And for those of you listening by internet, if you would like to share it with someone, and what better way to spread the gospel than sitting down and listening to this. Go into the archives and the Blog Talk Radio, and then you click on We Can Begin Again, and then you just go you go right into her sermon, Life in the Spirit of God, and be a blessing to someone. That's what this is all about. We can't take what God has given us and hold it for ourselves. We're supposed to share it. Share it with our neighbors. Share it with our family members. Spread the gospel. Spread the gospel. Amen? So we're going to move back over. We're turning back over to you as we come into a closing. Minister Arnold, may God bless you.
Okay. Once again, I want to thank you all for being on the line tonight with me. It has been a blessing to just know that there are people that love the Word of God, people that love God enough to the point where they set time aside to hear from Him and to love on Him. I want to thank you again, Dr. John and Dr. Suzanne. Thank you for having me on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a blessing sharing with you all again. Let's pray before the music comes on tonight. Father, we do bless you. We thank you for those that are listening, those that will go back to the archives and hear your word. For your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that it pierces asunder of soul and spirit. I thank you, Father, because your word is so strong that your word can cause us to live a life in the Spirit of God. And as we sleep tonight and as we wake up on tomorrow, I thank you that as your word says in Romans 8:1, that right now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, to them that are called according to his Spirit. I thank you right now that we don't operate in the flesh, but God will continue to live a life in the Spirit and love on you. And we bless you tonight. We thank you for those that are listening, that they're sound asleep, that you have the peace of God to rest tonight, knowing that you can turn it all over to him because he reigns and he never leaves us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you again for having us.
Amen. Amen. And now to God of peace who brought us from the dead, to the great shepherds of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, who equips you in everything to do his good will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
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 I can be.